Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bombas. This time of year, it's sensory overload. But one feeling we're still chasing, the cozy feeling. Mm-hmm. And Bombas has the socks, slippers, and basically everything to get you there. There's something weirdly therapeutic about fresh socks. And the sock scientists at Bombas have found a way to channel that energy into everything. From slippers with sinking cushioning to the perfect fitting ankle sock. And that feeling, it doesn't stop after one wear. It just keeps going. They've got answers for all your gifting questions. What do I get my son's new marathon training girlfriend? You get her socks. What about the neighbor's fussy newborn?
Socks.
Socks. Mom's new young friend she met at the ski lodge?
Definitely socks.
Definitely socks. Definitely socks.
Sounds like socks.
Bombas is really stepping up their slipper and slide game too. They've got new shapes, new styles, fluffy things, suede things, a little something for every foot. And there's one thing Bombas knows, it's feet. They're feet freaks. They're freaks for
freaks.
Feet. I just bought a pair. I bought a bunch of pairs of cushion no-show socks because it was actually the one part of my sock drawer that wasn't Bombas. And I'm throwing them out. I've worn these no-show socks down to the nub, and I'm very excited. I just ordered them, and I can't wait to get them because I'm going to wear them all the time. And that'll be the last socks that are not Bombas that will be Bombas. Mm. So we're huge fans. I truly wear them all the time. They are the best socks. You know, look, every pair you purchase, they donate one to somebody facing homelessness. Head on over to bombas.com/loveit. Use code loveit for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/loveit. Code loveit at checkout. What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Dynasty Typewriter. We've got a great show for you tonight. Trixie Mattel is here to spread some holiday queer. A pardon on Charla is here to help the anxious find their holiday cheer. Then we all share our picks for the official Love It or Leave It gifts of the year. But first, let's get into it. What a week. A new Gallup poll found that President Trump's approval rating has slid to 36%, the lowest it's been since Trump left office in 2021. But hey, don't think of it as the lowest approval rating of your second term. Think of it as the lowest approval rating of your second term so far. Yeah. Here is the deeply unpopular president himself falling asleep in Tuesday's cabinet meeting while Marco Rubio was addressing him directly.
War started, it never would have happened if you'd been president. But this war is going on, and the president is trying to end it. Not because, listen, we got a million things to focus on in the world as a country, but he's the only leader in the world that can help end it.
If an ass is kissed in the woods, and no one is awake to feel it, does it even count? At least Biden's team had the common decency to paint pupils on his closed eyelids. Meanwhile, as Trump's approval falls and his grip on the party loosens, Republicans are turning on each other. They're at each other's throats and not in the Nancy Reagan way. New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik has been publicly blasting House Speaker Mike Johnson. And Mike Johnson does not like being blasted. The idea of being blasted completely repulses him. Stefanik was furious at Johnson when a must-pass defense spending bill no longer included her provision to require the FBI to notify Congress when opening a counterintelligence investigation into candidates for federal office, calling it a scandalous disgrace that Republicans got rolled by the Dems and deep state. Say what now, said the powerful and unstoppable Democrats at a party to celebrate only losing in a Tennessee House race by 9 points. But then Johnson claimed he had no idea what Stefanik was going on about.
That is false. I don't exactly know why Elise won't just call me. I texted her yesterday. I wrote her and I said, what are you talking about? This hasn't even made it to my level. I don't know why she's frustrated with me. I literally had nothing to do with it.
Why is a Republican member of the House making a big public spectacle instead of trying to actually resolve a problem? That's your question? Why do birds shit on cars, Mike? For the same reason Elise Stefanik is taking a shit on your car, it's who they are. Stefanik clapped back on social media. Just more lies from the speaker. This is his preferred tactic to tell members when he gets caught torpedoing the Republican agenda. What's worse, Johnson sent a second torpedo after some of the agenda survived the first attack. Oh. And so, your reaction's correct. Stefanik isn't the only female Republican clashing with Johnson. The New York Times reported this week that Nancy Mace is so fed up with Johnson and the way women are being treated under his leadership in the House, she considered meeting Marjorie Taylor Greene to discuss retiring early too. My God, it's happening. They're inventing feminism. Unaware that it already evolved elsewhere, like how crabs have appeared independently in several different places. Nobody disturbed them. Somebody throw a sheet over Judith Butler's enclosure. And yet, as Republicans are unraveling, they're becoming increasingly radical, which makes sense. You don't drink less the day your wife leaves you. Last week, two West Virginia National Guard members were shot in downtown D.C., and one of them was killed. An Afghan national who once served on a counterterrorism unit operated by the CIA has been charged in the deadly and terrible attack. In the wake of the shooting, the administration announced that it was suspending asylum decisions, halting visas for all Afghans, including those who assisted the U.S.'s war effort, and re-examining green card applications for people from every country of concern. This is obviously what they had already wanted and planned to do, and this terrible shooting is only a useful pretext. Holding an entire group of people responsible for the actions of one deranged person is never acceptable, though I do think it should be legal to crash into Cybertrucks. During Trump's cabinet meeting Tuesday, he also attacked Representative Ilhan Omar and other immigrants from Somalia, calling them garbage.
She's garbage. Her friends are garbage. These aren't people that work. These aren't people that say, let's go, come on, let's make this place great.
What is this delusion that immigrants don't work, that grow our food, take care of our children, build houses, lie motionless under Donald Trump on a biweekly basis as per their marital agreement? As they've been busy demonizing millions of immigrants, we've learned more about the administration's lawless murders on the high seas. The Washington Post reported that the military fired on a suspected drug boat in the Caribbean on September 2nd, and then on Hegseth's orders to kill everyone on board, fired again, killing survivors who were, according to the Post, clinging to the wreckage. Killing survivors of a shipwreck is what's known in military and legal circles as a war crime, with penalties ranging from prison time to a spot on the rotation on the five. It can't be right. The White House first denied the report, then defended the double tap while also trying to distance Pete Hegseth from it, claiming that it was actually Admiral Frank Mitch Bradley who gave the order for the second strike. And in a real curveball, the White House suggested that Frank Mitch Bradley may have been responsible for Pete Hegseth's extramarital affairs as well. Meanwhile, as the White House was claiming we have to defend our country from drugs by blowing up random boats in the ocean, Trump pardoned former Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez, who was serving a 45-year prison sentence for drug and weapons trafficking.
That was a Biden horrible witch hunt, which was, a lot of people in Honduras asked me to do that, and I did it. I feel very good about it.
Two problems here. One, the investigation that led to Hernandez's conviction took place during Trump's first term, and it was led for a time by MAGA loyalist Emile Bave. Two, if Biden had actually done any witch hunting, we might not be in this fucking mess. Biden couldn't catch a fucking witch if she stuck a broom up his ass. Old loser. Pete Hegseth, for his part, responded to the war crime allegations by trolling with an AI joke about a children's book. He posted this sweet turtle Franklin in an AI cover that said, Franklin targets narco-terrorists. Look, Hegseth, not a serious person, so he thought he could handle this by owning the libs, but a lot of Republicans began to express concerns too. And of course, Hegseth can't tell the truth about the whole thing, which is when he said, make it a double, he was just thirsty. In Tuesday's cabinet meeting, Hegseth went full simp, and said that a couple of hours passed before he learned there was a second strike, and said in response to a reporter's question,
oh, I see nothing. I was not here. I did not even get up this morning.
I apologize. That was a clip from Hogan's Heroes. Here's what he actually said.
I did not personally see survivors, but I stand, because the thing was on fire. It was exploded in fire and smoke. You can't see anything. You got digital. This is called the fog of war.
Hegseth proceeded to mix up a fresh batch of fog of wars, which appeared to be Blackberry Stoli and that caffeinated Panera lemonade that kills you. And if Pete's week couldn't get any more drinking alone, the Defense Department Inspector General on Tuesday released its anticipated report and concluded that, yes, when Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth shared sensitive information about an ongoing military operation in a Signal group chat, he had, in fact, fucked up. That scandal is big, but this is bigger, sexted Pete Hegseth to a woman he met in Phoenix and somehow Atlantic editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg. In response to the report, Hegseth said, quote, no classified information, total exoneration, case closed, which is, of course, the opposite of what the report found. Based on our review, we conclude that information the secretary sent from his personal cell phone matched the operational information sent is classified. We compared the signal chat to the emails from U.S. CENTCOM commander, found that some of the information the secretary sent wasn't classified emails. It goes on. And just as an aside, apparently Vice President J.D. Vance later wrote in the leaked signal chat, which again was used to share information about impending airstrikes in Yemen, quote, this chat's kind of dead. Anything going on? That's real. Let's run this guy in 2028. I actually cannot wait. I think it's going to be fun. What a loser. As the administration unravels, it becomes trapped by its own logic. This is not a movement that is capable of admitting error, and that means doubling down and defending the indefensible. The failures actually feed the extremism. It took like a day to go from the Washington Post is fake news to there was a second strike and it was good.
You said that the follow-up strike was lawful. What law is it that allows no survivors?
The strike conducted on September 2nd was conducted in self-defense to protect Americans in vital United States interests.
You can't defend yourself from a product you were going to eagerly purchase. You can't drone strike Costco because you can't stop buying pallets of peanut butter stuffed pretzels because the peanut butter allows you to convince yourself it's protein. This is the war crime equivalent of get these fries away from me. Here's Megyn Kelly's reaction.
So I really do kind of not only want to see them killed in the water, whether they're on the boat or in the water, but I'd really like to see them suffer. I would like Trump and Hegseth to make it last a long time so that they lose a limb and bleed out a little.
We are not meant to see this. It's witnessing someone's interior horrors. Like when that old Republican guy was posting nice shoes beneath that twink's butthole. Remember that? So as the administration unravels, becomes more extreme. But there is a countervailing force. Becoming more extreme leads to more unraveling. Leaks are part of this. Officials within the Defense Department told the Washington Post that they were increasingly concerned that the Trump administration was throwing Admiral Bradley under the bus. On Thursday, Bradley briefed congressional leaders in a classified meeting, telling lawmakers that the survivors of the boat strike were attempting to continue their drug run and were viable targets, not defenseless men in the water. Their last words, please tell my wife I love trafficking drugs. It's a lesson, right? If you love your job, you never work a day in your life. You're right. I know I'm wrong, but it still sucks to have you react this way. Also this week, we got a leaked assessment in which 24 FBI sources described an FBI in turmoil, a rudderless ship under Kash Patel. How rudderless, asked Pete Hegseth, breathing a little heavy, his finger hovering above a button that he was told by a deputy is connected to the coolest bomb ever, but is actually just an old garage door opener. In that leaked report, assembled by current and former FBI agents on behalf of Congress, when Patel arrived in Provo, Utah, after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, he refused to get off the plane without wearing an FBI raid jacket in his size. And they only had larges and extra larges on the plane. This is real. So a female agent ultimately gave Patel her size medium jacket. And he was right to do this. Imagine Kash Patel being photographed in a too large jacket. Why, we'd all lose confidence in him. So he's got the jacket. But then Patel complained that it was missing the Velcro patches on the sleeves that would say FBI, and he also refused to leave the plane until SWAT members removed the patches from their own jackets and put them on his jacket. While this was unfolding, Patel unleashed an expletive-laden tirade over perceived blunders, which I am just now learning is not what you do when your underlings fail to get the patches you demanded for your tiny coat. And I am sorry, guys. I am sorry. The report also describes Patel's second-in-command, conservative podcaster and former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino, as being, and this is a quote, something of a clown. He even went to the doctor because he was feeling so depressed about all of this. And the doctor told him that if nothing else was working, there's this new clown running the FBI who is really making everybody laugh. And then Dan looked up in defeat and said, but doctor, I am Bongino. That was good. But doctor, I am Bongino. That killed me. And you reacted as much as it deserves, but it just, as an idea, it feels good. And as there's turmoil at the FBI and leaks from across the administration, a whole slew of Trump's political prosecutions are falling apart too. This week, an appeals court ruled that Trump's hand-selected New Jersey U.S. attorney, Alina Haba, has been serving illegally since she was installed without Senate confirmation. In New Jersey, even the U.S. attorneys fall off the back of a truck. Comes a week after a judge threw out Trump's indictments against former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Tish James because Trump's U.S. Attorney for the Eastern Virginia District, Lindsey Halligan, was also serving illegally. Then on Thursday, a grand jury in Virginia once again refused to indict Tish James for their alleged mortgage fraud. There's no great public support for Trump's authoritarian project, not in the public, not in the government. They just don't have the guys. Scratch the surface of any Trump agency, and one layer below the Cash Patels and Pete's Hegseth is a body of angry, disgruntled people just like you and me. They worry about keeping their jobs and their integrity. They try to watch TikToks in the shower, even though water on the screen makes it jump around. They wear a new pair of socks every day, and at the end of the day, they put those socks in the trash, some just as like us. Look, I'm not going to pretend any of this is easy. I'm not in the military or the FBI or the DOJ. Hell, I'm barely a women's-sized medium. But the more isolated, extreme, and buffoonish this Trump clique becomes, the harder it will be to find people willing to go along with it, to bet their futures on this confederacy of schmucks, until only the biggest morons and zealots remain. And a lot of their knees still hurt from climbing the Capitol stairs that one time because it was so cold and they hadn't stretched. And look, if you don't have any integrity, your back's against the wall, it might make sense to throw your lot in with Trump, get a pardon, grab a job you never would have gotten in the rational world, use a bribe to get ahead. And it might work, or at least it might seem that way. But you know who I think could help us understand this? Franklin. Remember him? Because our Franklin has a great new series of books to help understand what's coming. First, we have Franklin breathes a sigh of relief when he receives a presidential pardon. Followed by, Franklin goes out for drinks to celebrate, but something doesn't feel right. The laughs feel forced. Do these people like me? Franklin has a gnawing sense that the little bolt of doubt and fear that occasionally pierces his public and private explanations for his conduct is Jesus. Franklin grows old with all of its challenges, but none of the rewards of wisdom and contentment. Franklin rides the bus. We got to do something for sales. All this is sad and horrifying and hard to joke about. Kamala had to just let the mask slip for one moment and shout on a hot mic, of course he's old and terrible. And then we could have gone back to making fun of celebrities paying to get their kids into USC. Remember that? That was fun. But instead, it's war crimes, xenophobia. We got a great show for you tonight. Coming up next, Trixie Mattel says 'tis the season to be gay, and also all the other seasons. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by AG1. AG1 is the daily health drink that combines your multivitamin, pre and probiotics, superfoods, and antioxidants into one simple green scoop. It's one of the easiest things you can do to support your body every day. Heading into the holidays, it can be hard to maintain a balanced diet and give your body the nutrients it needs. Holiday parties and celebrations derail nutrition and regular routines, but AG1's Next Gen can help fill those nutrition gaps. AG1 Next Gen contains more vitamins and minerals than ever before, and it's clinically shown to fill common nutrient gaps. The pro and prebiotics in AG1 also help support your gut health and digestion. And if you need a little help winding down at night from all the holiday festivities, try AGZ, the new nighttime drink designed to support restful, restorative sleep. AGZ is a melatonin-free formula that supports the body's natural sleep cycle. AGZ supports three stages of rest, winding down, sleeping, and waking. Really, also, those are the three stages of being alive. I'm a fan of AG1. It's nice to have a routine in the morning. You can make a smoothie, you throw it in there. You know, you're getting prebiotics, probiotics. You know, you just, if you start every day making sure you get prebiotics and probiotics, some vitamins and greens, plus some protein in there, you throw some protein in there, you know, you're starting the day off right. That's why I like to start the day off with a smoothie, you know, with all these things in it. AG1 is their best offer ever. If you head to drinkag1.com/loveit, you'll get the welcome kit, a morning person hat, a year's supply of vitamin D3 plus K2, an AG1 flavor sampler, and you'll get to try their new sleep supplement, AGZ, for free, which has been a game changer for a lot of people in their nightly routines. That's $126 in free gifts for new subscribers. That's drinkag1.com/loveit.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back. Please welcome to the stage, singer, icon, Drag Race All-Stars winner, the one and only Trixie Mattel.
Wow.
Hi.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Hi. I do want to say up top, I was flattered that I saw you in drag as me this week. Can we show the clip?
Yeah. What? You guys in my house for the holiday time? I can't believe it. Hello, welcome back to the channel.
Oh, God. Can I tell you, this was a huge wake-up call for me. You know when people talk about hitting rock bottom?
What?
First of all, he walked in. I said, I love your shirt. I think I have it. People keep saying we dress alike, which was also a huge wake-up call for me. But somebody said, your jeans are so millennial tight, if you fart, you would break your ankle.
I was going to ask you about this, because because here's the thing. The pants fashion has changed around us.
It has.
And I know that. It's not like I'm not aware of it.
Right.
I know it's happening.
I know.
But don't you struggle to put on the wider leg pants? I feel like I don't know how to do it. I feel like I'm doing it wrong when I put on the wider leg pants. I feel like a clown in them. I feel like I'm in Guys and Dolls.
We kind of are right now. Do you have a lot of very young fans? Because let me tell you, I have all like Gen Z like girl fans. Let me tell you, they'll fucking tell you. They'll show up in the comments so fast being like, I am so embarrassed of you. I'm getting my tattoo removed today. Like they
wow.
really... And I guess this is honestly, these pants are from 2012, so they look that way. I guess I'm dressing to the left in this picture, and that's kind of fun for everybody. I think we all know what sells on YouTube. But I've actually been wearing wider pants, kind of exploring. But I do feel when I wear wide leg pants, I do feel like Drew Barrymore, like showing up to the high school, and she's like, I'm 25 years old, I'm a reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, you know what I mean? Like...
I love that movie because it has a similar undercurrent of horror in the same way the film Big does.
Right.
Because the film Big, it's like, what's going on? This is a child. Also, that poor mother, she's in a horror movie that you never get to see.
Right.
But it's supposed to be light and fun, and it is. It never been kissed. My God. Thank God for that teacher that she turned out to be an adult.
No kidding.
What a mess.
But that's like how many times in like some like It Hot or Yentl when someone's having like a gay crisis because someone's cross-dressing and they don't know. I'm like, am I gay? No, it's Barbra Streisand. You know, which by the way, maybe, right? If you're a guy and you fall in love with Barbra Streisand, I wouldn't say that you should exactly sign up for heterosexuality. You know what I mean?
Such an important point.
But, and it wasn't, who was her boyfriend? Oh, I remember. She's at the baseball game and she's waiting for him to come kiss her. And she.
And they had, she kisses.
Yeah.
They kiss.
That would never happen in gay world.
No.
Never been felched. That's what it would be.
Yeah.
Did you get that? Okay. Just
they got
sure
it. They got
that.
It. They good. Got it. So Trixie.
Yeah.
You've built an empire.
Yeah, yes, I have.
International touring drag star.
The lesbians have built my empire. Yes, brick by brick.
A successful cosmetics line, a hotel in Palm Springs, a TV show about said hotel, popular YouTube channel, Bonnaroo.
Bonnaroo.
And most importantly, you have a podcast.
Yes, The Bald and the Beautiful.
So I was thinking about where you are now and then remembering you on the first season you were on Drag Race. And I wonder if, like, have you gone back and looked at it? Do you ever see clips of it? And what do you think of it?
Found footage.
Yeah, in found footage.
The Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it just, sometimes I wish I had hair and I watch that and I go, yeah, I wasn't fucking doing anything with it. You know what I mean? It was just, I don't know. I mean, I was 24 when I got on Drag Race. I'd never seen a television camera. Something they don't tell you about that experience is, none of us have any, we work in an industry where we're in nightclubs taking wet money from people, you know, we're not television stars, we don't understand what's happening. Even for me, not to be like naive, I showed up and the fact that the workroom wasn't a building and it was a soundstage, I was like, you're all fucking liars. And you're lying to the fucking world. I mean, I really couldn't believe it. RuPaul talking in the ear, I was like, who is she talking to? I mean, I didn't understand how anything worked.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, I've made it here to the Dynasty Typewriter on a school night. And so this is huge.
The other thing that's been interesting since you were first on Drag Race is how it's changed to be more welcoming to trans drag stars and the way that's kind of changed drag a little bit because it has to be about something other than competing to be the most woman, right? It becomes more about the performance. And I'm wondering what that feels like as someone that was doing it while that transition was happening.
So from my experience, I mean, I started doing drag in Milwaukee when I was 18, 19, 20. Almost all the working drag queens were like trans women of color. So in my real world experience with drag, most, the people we worship, the people we wished we were like, were all the trans girls in the show. So it was, if anything, it was like Drag Race kind of catching up to what the reality is. When you go work in drag shows, that's what's really happening. So now it just all matches. It's all congruent.
What was I going to ask you? Oh, yeah.
Are you going to ask me if I'm trans?
You know, I don't think so.
I did Larry King's show, and he asked me 3 times if I was trans.
3 times?
And he has 8 Peabodys. So after the 3rd time, I was like, am I? Like, I was like, what does he know, right? But he was really cool, and he, no prompter, sat down, like, and just read my whole bio from memory. Like, he really is, like, he was like that. It was cool.
I met him once when he had moved over to, like, Aura TV. He had been kind of moved along. He just kept doing what he would do. He just point him at a camera, and he'd just be like, Sheboygan, hello.
Yes, yes.
And it was interesting being in a room with him, Larry King, because he was from the television.
Yeah.
And so old. He was very old when I saw him.
He was really old, and he, they told me, they said, you know, he's really actually, like, he knows a lot about queer stuff and gay stuff. They said, but don't forget, you know, he's, like, in his 80s. He just might not know everything. But he was super nice and cool. My assistant, my makeup artist, had green hair, and he goes, your hair is green. And then I didn't, you guys, if you go watch, I wish you had this clip. It's me and him talking, and I'm just in drag, and I'm, like, so disconnected from reality because it's him sitting there, right? And he really sits, like, the South Park, like, mm-hmm. He's sitting like that with the, and he wears the cute little sneakers. And he we're talking and I say something like, you know, RuPaul like teaches you to not just eat the corn, but grow the corn. I tried to make some kind of metaphor about corn.
Yeah, you gotta eat because you can't just eat it. You gotta grow it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a quarter native and I think I got real feisty about it. I don't know what I was doing. And I go, there's a long pause and he's staring and I go, do you like corn? And he goes, yeah. On the cob, yeah. And I just go, love corn. And then it's like, cut. And it's in the interview. Y'all should go watch it.
You DJed for Chapel Roan in Los Angeles?
I did. I sure did. We have crossover audience, if you can believe it. Yes. You know, she was backstage with me. And, you know, I'll tell you what, she treats and this show treats us very good too, but her show treats the drag queens like, oh my God, like I had a yurt, an outdoor yurt with like couches and whatever I wanted.
Did we not have the yurt that we
don't have the yurt.
Kennedy, what the fuck? We said yurt.
I know.
You know what a yurt is.
I want to fly private from Hollywood. Okay. And she, you know, I'm not kidding. I'm like 6 feet out of drag and she's actually like here, right? And, you know, I've been a supporter of her for a long time. And I said, you know, you're living a lot of lesbians' fantasies right now, having your face in my boobs. And then I was like, come to think of it, I think I'm living a lot of lesbians' fantasies by having my boobs in your face. And we just kind of laughed. And then I went and did the show.
She's such a talented performer.
She's gifted. Oh, my God. She really ate, girl. She really ate. She really ate. Throwing your own mini music festival in Pasadena, sold out both nights. Fierce. You know who else was there? Betsy Johnson.
Wow.
She was there. And you know, I always say she looks like Katya. But I've never seen her in person. And she walked in and I was with a friend and I said, look, Katya's here. And he was like, yeah, she looks good. I was like, that's not her. Because they look so alike. The little Bob with the red lip. Huh. And yeah, she looked great though. But you know, oh my God. One time I was at the Out 100 last year and I was DJing the event. So I was in the green room and that's where they put the fancy people, you know, and Cynthia Erivo was there. And oh my God, this is a two-part story. Do you remember the lady who interviewed them who was like holding space? Remember her? She and I are standing outside the green room and they like, I'm in drag and she's her. And they're like, sorry, we don't know. And I said, you guys let her in. She's in queer media. And then... And she goes like, oh, hi, Trixie. Because at the time, remember, she was like, I'm in queer media. Love that. But then I saw Cynthia Erivo backstage and she was so nice because she loves drag, of course, right? She's sparkling all over herself. And she comes up and I go, you're going to have a great year. What the fuck does that mean? You're in Wicked. Yeah, you're going to have a... But I was trying to say like, congrats on your success. But I said, you're going to have a great year. Like she's my... Like I'm sending her yearbook. What is that? Then what? So then I just like froze and all, I like was in the car on the way home like, you're going to have a great year. To Elphaba, great.
It's so, it's obviously nothing, what you said. It's nothing. But it's also kind of has a cockiness to it. Like Cynthia Erivo arrived at the At 100 and was like, I'm not sure how next year's going to go.
Oh, I know. I know. Like,
yeah, she knows she's going to have a great year.
I know.
She knew that already.
What I should have said is congrats on your success. That's what I kind of meant. You're going to have a great year. What?
You're going to have a great year. Kathy Griffin has a line, which is that if you say to congrats to anyone in Los Angeles, even a stranger on the street, they don't say what for, they say thank you. Because they're all in their mind about having an amazing, amazing moment. Everyone's always in their moment, and I always love that.
Completely. And I trust her, because she wears wigs. Mm. I was at her house, and she has a wig wall like a drag queen. I said, you better fucking work, bitch. Because think about it, these girls who tour comedy, why wouldn't you have a wig of your hair? Why are you styling your own hair every day?
Why am I doing it?
Why aren't you doing it? We could get you a unit. I was with Brittany Broski today and I was like, you should get a wig of your hair. Like, why are you, you know, we had that women's Hollywood event that was at, the red carpet was at 8 a.m. this week. I said, girl, don't you wish you could roll out of bed and just like, you know, because these real girls sit in this chair and they burn your fucking hair.
I want to get a wig.
What kind of wig do you want?
This more.
This hair?
Yeah.
Oh. Go,
Well, I just...
But you know you can do anything, right?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Like, I'm in a position to make fun of men's hair, right?
No, okay. No. I receive what you're saying, and I should think about it. What could I be? I don't know, because all I've been doing is fighting a war against this.
Right.
Trying to make this what it could be.
I love
imagining
your
anything
hair.
Else that could be in its stead. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Mm. Well, you could have... men's wigs are a little harder to pull off in a convincing way. I mean, watch a Netflix movie. You know what I mean? Katya and I do that show I like to watch, and we regularly are sitting on that couch watching these Hollywood million-dollar, billion-dollar budget movies who don't have as good of hairlines as us. And I'm always like, Bueller, like, is this thing on?
There's also stuff where they when you update it to the 4K, they can't handle it. People can't handle all this 4K.
I think that they shot Hunting Wives on a VHS from 1980. Because when I sat on my little couch, spoiler alert, Katya and I recently got to watch that, and they pulled up Hunting Wives, this lesbian legacy program. It's really the If These Walls Could Talk with guns, right?
Yeah.
Love it. When these bitches rolled out with their Hollywood toy and costume hard front wigs on, and I'm a deep, like, I love Malin Ackerman so much because I love Watchmen, I love The Comeback, and I love that movie Final Girls, and I saw her at the Emmys, and I was like, you don't know me. But I know you. Like, I'm just a freak.
And you're going to have a great year.
You're going to have a great year. No.
Malin Ackerman, I love you. You're going to have a great year.
You're going to have a great year. Oh, fuck. Oh, The Comeback is coming back.
I know.
You want to talk holding space, bitch.
I believe that second to last episode of the first season with the cupcake is one of the best episodes in the history of television.
Yeah, it
they
is.
They did it. Let her be in the picture. Okay. Yeah. I have something else I want to talk to you about.
Okay, sorry. We just scream. But you guys are gay, you know.
They're fine. They can handle it.
I saw this TikTok that was like, being gay means you can enter any room and just scream something and everyone cheers. People walk in and they're like, spin dip. And they're like, woo, you know.
It is a fun part of it.
Yeah. The only fun part.
You filmed a video when you redecorated your home in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And I started watching it. I was just interested. And there was, hey.
Somebody's not interested.
Apologize. So I saw this and I thought, oh, wow, this is beautiful. Let's go to the first picture. And I thought, wow,
yes.
I love this. And I was going to ask you because so much of what happens now is everyone makes, like the fancy people make their house gray and they remove all the color and it's all whites and grays. It's like, you know, like Salt Lake City Real Housewives chic, where it's just like only white, only beige, only gray. And it's like a maximalist.
Yeah,
good.
The rich people in LA, the real rich people, their homes are like Tao monk temples. Like it's really like nothing's on the counter. You cannot find the fridge because it's disguised as a wall. Like,
It always struck me that you know, Ellen DeGeneres was this like happy-go-lucky, fun, freewheeling comic on this colorful set, dancing around for 20 years. And with that money, she seems to have bought several mausoleums throughout the city.
It's fierce.
These cement spaces, empty of color and life. But you'd made this beautiful, colorful home, and I thought that was interesting.
Everybody always talks about decorating for resale value, and I'm like, fuck those people, they don't live here. Do you know what I mean? Like, you live here, this is your life, you could be dead tomorrow, paint the wall pink. And so this is a peacock that was shipped from the East Coast, and they drove it across the state so it wouldn't break. And look, it's a peacock with tricksy eyes. Now you don't have to be crazy.
I love that.
But I just love color, and I love maximalism. I love texture. I want you to walk in my house and go, that bitch in a wig lives here.
And I want you to know something. The reason I brought this up is because I had an experience today when I was watching this video, which, can we go to the next one? Okay. See that chair right there?
What's up?
I have that chair.
You like it?
I do like it. It's very comfortable.
Comfortable?
It's my dining room table chairs. I have the exact same chairs. I know where you got them. I have that chair. And I thought, that's funny. Next slide.
What?
I have these cups.
No, you don't.
I have these cups. I have these cups.
I have this shirt. I have this shirt.
Next slide.
This is single white female. You know that?
I know where you got these plates. Insane. The double J.
Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it.
and I really considered it.
Honestly, they're really cunty, and they were, but they, whatever. Shoot me in the eye, bitch. I got convinced into buying these. They're too expensive. They're also not dishwasher safe. They've been used once.
I know, because I'm lying. I bought them.
Oh!
And you can't wash them in the fucking, you just don't use them. You just don't use them because they cost as much as like going to the dentist, and if you can't put them in the fucking dishwasher.
No, and I'm from a family where my grandma would put like the McDonald's straws in the dishwasher. She'd be like, we're going to use these. You know, like, I love
Next
that.
Slide.
You do not have
them. Have this.
No, you don't.
Yes.
Why are you so obsessed with me?
Have this. Next slide.
No, you don't.
Have this.
No, you do not have this.
I swear to fucking God, I have this.
Oh, not, vintage Murano glass. Oh, vintage Murano glass.
I do. Ooh. I have that.
Upon it, get out that. Here.
Next slide. I have this bed.
No, you
we
don't.
We sleep on this. I swear to fucking God. I sleep on the same bed every goddamn night. You and I tonight will go back to our separate homes, and we will be sleeping in the same bed.
But you know what?
I covered the fabric of a different color. The
what
same
color?
Way you did. I have a gold.
Oh.
That's right.
That's nice.
That's right. And it is shockingly expensive, and I don't want to talk about it.
Did you feel, you know, can I be honest? When I did this, it was for television, and the network does cover about half.
Fuck you.
So, you know, I don't actually remember how much a lot of this stuff was, because do you like this bed? I like it.
It's super comfortable.
It's wonderful.
But isn't that strange?
I'm so genuinely creeped out right now.
Wait, how?
Like, I saw Paranormal Activity here in LA 2 nights ago. That did not even touch this moment. The fact that you are not wearing my skin.
I literally, this afternoon, when I was watching this video, I was supposed to be working on other parts of the show, and I was sitting with Hallie and with Sarah Lazarus, our two incredible writers, and I just kept saying, no! Next slide.
You're kidding. There's not more.
There
can't be.
I don't think there are. There was one more. There's
what
no
if he's
more.
Like, your man, fucked him. Like, what? Where does it end? He's like, I'm taking your car home.
And by the way, like, I might have missed things. Like, I was watching as closely as I could, but I'm not a forensic scientist.
I'm coming over.
There's something really strange happening, because these are not normal. These are not like, we found strange things to put in our homes.
Maybe we thought we were Pick Me Special Girls, and I guess
know,
we're just Pinterest faggots.
God damn it.
I don't know.
I thought I was special. I thought I was unique.
When did you decorate?
2022, 2023.
That's when I did this.
Fuck!
So I guess we all got the same fucking catalogs, and we all thought we were so special. Isn't that sad? Gay people are supposed to be so creative, and we're like, I'll take that bed. Like, the most creative of our species, and all we can come up with is the same two plates.
And we're so proud of ourselves.
Oh, like,
didn't you go to the end of the internet looking for stuff? Open? How many tabs did you have open till we both land on the same goddamn fucking chargers?
It's sad. It's a little sad, but I do love the house, and it's
beautiful. Your house
love
is cool.
It. Loved it.
And yeah, honestly, I feel like I've been there.
Yeah.
Last thing, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Drag Race season 18, which premieres on January 2nd. They've just announced the queens on Tuesday. We're still in the preseason.
Yeah. The queen never worries about the cards stacked at the bottom. That's awful.
Wow.
That's awful.
Wow.
That's awful. I just thought it was funny.
It is funny.
Okay.
And it was. And the beautiful part of it is it was. Anybody standing out? Anybody you're thinking of? Anybody excited about?
This is the truth. The way I could never. The way me and Katya, I'm going to speak for her too. The way we could never. The way each of these whores would eviscerate us and like Thanos disintegrate us. We don't have great personal style. We don't have the contacts for these kind of costumes. We don't have the will. We don't have the budget. We're not interested. We're happy to sit on chairs on a green screen and scream. But I just want to say, as much as we all love Drag Race, the quality of what these whores do now is so beguiling and bedazzling. I encourage all of you who sit home with an Amazon Prime membership and the ability to get a wig by Monday, I encourage you all to hold your breath in before you say, I could do that, because, bitch, you could never.
Yeah.
You could never.
There's a...
I love Pod Save America. I never sit there and go, I know more than... Like, I don't. I know my place. I nod. I learn. And I go home. And that's what I encourage you guys to do.
This isn't my analogy, but someone noted that the way all straight men believe in their bones that they could land a 747 is the same way all gay men believe without reason that they would win Drag Race.
Oh.
And it's not my observation, but I think it holds. Like, on some level... They were just like, my raw charisma would carry me through. Even though I can't sew, never put on makeup, don't do drag, can't sing, can't lip sync, I think I could take it.
I mean, that's what I did. I did. I was mid at all those things. But I will say, I always say that Drag Race is won in the interview chair. You can't win without a good interviews. And a lot of these girls, let's just say they're not exactly personality hires. So I will say... I encourage people to stretch, but you don't have to be the best at everything. You just have to just you have to be delusional. The people who win are always, they all go out there and they look RuPaul right in the eye and they go, aren't I everything? And that's like, who wants to go to a drag show where someone's like, am I okay? Like, no.
Yeah, they come here for that.
Yeah. hey, for real. No, I think they all look amazing. This promo's amazing. RuPaul's amazing. We all do not deserve to be alive at the same time as RuPaul. I really feel that. We're going to lose her someday and we're all going to be like, that was the best fucking thing we could have ever had in our lives. Like, she's the best.
Someone gasped in the audience like they didn't know time moves forward.
Right. I'm not saying she's in danger. I'm just saying we're all going to die.
And that's a great place to leave it. Trixie Mattel, thank you so much. Trixie's going to stick around. Aparna, when we come back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Rewriting traditions, therapy can give you the space to create new, meaningful traditions, providing clarity amid the holiday chaos. Yes, some people have many traditions. Some have none or just beginning their own. Now's the time to reflect on what they mean to you. Incorporating therapy into your new or existing traditions can help ensure you take time for yourself during what can be a joyful but sometimes hectic and lonely time of the year. BetterHelp is quality therapists who work according to a strict code of conduct that are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from our tailored recs. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, having served over 5 million people globally, and it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. This December, start a new tradition by taking care of you. Our listeners get 10% off at betterhelp.com/loveit. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/loveit.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back! Woo! Please welcome to the stage the hilarious Aparna Nancherla. Hi.
Hi.
Given all the challenges the LGBT community faces under the second Trump administration, we thought it was only right that we have an open dialogue about which holiday characters are gay or not in a segment we're calling Go Down That Chimney, Bitch.
Ooh,
oh.
Fun.
Whoa.
For those of you who forgot about Dr. Alfred Kinsey's heterosexual homosexual rating scale, as it was called when it was first published in Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, the scale goes from 0, which is insane, to 6, which is exclusively homosexual. That's 6 is the gayest.
Name. Yeah.
And 0 is super straight.
Right.
No gayness inside of you.
Right.
Okay.
But would you like some? All right. The rating. Here we go. First up, we have Buddy the Elf from Elf, directed by the other Jon Favreau. Now, yes, we know Buddy ends up with Zooey Deschanel at the end of the film, but let's see, it has a compulsory heterosexuality energy. You know what I mean? A comp het vibe.
Okay. Okay. I don't know. I'm sensing kind of higher on the Kinsey scale. Just this energy to me is reading fabulosity.
I mean, it's like depending how much you measure gay. Like, because having, I know I've been with a lot of guys who are not gay. They don't identify as gay, but they sure do love to have sex with me. So I think he might be the opposite, where he is fucking girls, but everything else is gay. You know?
Right. That's interesting.
He is gay, okay. But he has this girlfriend that he does have sex with. And he doesn't have sex with men, but he goes to, like, you know, he goes to Chapel Run at Pasadena. Like, he's there.
Does drag act like a gateway drug for men that want to have sex with men for you? Like, has that happened in your past where, like, the drag got, they're not gay, but the drag is the door through which they walk?
No, I would say that if they're attracted to me in drag, usually most of their life they're with women and they're attracted to femininity.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. What do you think? What do you say? Three? Are we saying three? What do you think?
Three.
Let's start
in the middle.
Yeah, I would say three. Let's set that as the baseline.
I love that holiday movie.
You know, I do too. I do. Ed Asner's so good in it. Remember Ed Asner?
Yeah.
He died too.
I just watched this game.
He went up.
He went up.
Yes, Andre.
I just watched this holiday movie called The Happiest Season, this lesbian movie. Have you guys seen this?
I love that movie.
I had no idea it was going to be so good. I was crying. It was amazing.
It was so good.
It was amazing. It was not only one of the best Christmas I've ever seen, it was one of the best gay movies I've ever seen. It was amazing.
Yes, it was really
It was amazing.
Good.
Everybody go watch it. I do think it's funny that you bring home your roommate, Kristen Stewart, and your mom's not sure that you're gay. Kristen Stewart has like... You know that lesbian thing where it's like Trey Parker's hair with two hair clips?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then she's in like a suit and she's like, I'm a roommate. I'm like, girl. You know what I mean? It's like the birdcage. I'm like, girl. You know?
I don't know how I ever could have made it in the roommate era. You know? I don't think I could have done it. The like, this is my roommate. I don't think I had the... I think I just would have been an outcast and had to go into the woods. Not because I'm like brave. I'm just like not capable of that kind of discipline. You know? Of like pretending. I don't know how they did it.
I also never think, I don't know, I'd never live a life where I'm like, I brought my roommate as my plus one.
Yeah, I'm trying to get away from that bitch. She's at home. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I need a break from this person.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the Grinch from the original 1966, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Oh. Do we think the Grinch is non-binary, perhaps? The Grinch's pronouns are they, them.
I'm saying six.
Six? You think this is just a gay 100%? Yes. 100% gay.
Yeah.
I'm stuck because, you know, outing people's an act of violence in 2025. And so I don't know. Yeah. You know, back in my day, like Kathy Griffin would just call Ryan Seacrest a fag. Like, we can't do that anymore. But now we can't do that. So I'm going to say they have an incredible table setting. And they might have the same bed as you and I.
Yeah. Yeah,
confirmed Bachelor the Grinch.
Yes.
The Grinch has not been able to keep a lady. They're pounding at his door, and yet he hasn't been able to settle on the one just yet. Will there be a lady for the Grinch? Only time will tell, because this bachelor is eligible. Confirmed eligible.
Yes. I think he went to Coachella and was carried out of Charlie XCX on a stretcher. Party too hard.
The snow. So I think you were saying six. The snowman from the classic Raymond Briggs children's book, The Snowman.
Oh.
Gender really is what a... When you're a snowman, gender is the scarf and hat you put on. You switch the hat, change the gender. That's the beauty of the snow people.
It's becoming Prices Right a little bit.
People, I know. Cover. I was like, they're really invested in our winning.
I think it's a zero. I think this is like Nick Offerman.
Yes.
He's a libertarian, probably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, I think this is where you start on the scale.
Yeah, that's zero.
Yeah.
That is all heterosexual energy. Do you see that Netflix movie where the snowman becomes the hot guy from Schitt's Creek?
Yes, I did. I work at Netflix. We watch all the premium programming.
Hot Frosty? Hot Frost Buns? Hot Frosty.
Hot Frosty. That's what they called it, Hot Frosty. I guess it's the joke about Frosty being cold.
Yes.
Huh. Jonathan Bennett is in 12 holiday movies. Wow. I looked it up online. He's the romantic interest, and sometimes it's men, sometimes it's women. It's all over the place.
I watched a chunk of... I did not make it all the way through Hot Frosty. I'll be honest. I don't work at Netflix. But as part of your deal, can you not criticize these films?
Are you kidding? I think we're going to get fired every day. We rip into these movies so bad. When we first started that job, I thought, like, we're done. We're not coming back tomorrow. And they love when we make fun of it.
Right, I love that.
But that means when we like a movie, you know it's good.
That's good, yes. I like that.
We don't ever be like, we love this, you know.
Here was my issue with the film Hot Frosty, and I do think it's important we talk about it. Usually in a holiday film, when something magical happens, there's some kind of motivation for it. Like, you know, the child is alone and
has been treated poorly and wishes one last time to see the thing, something of that sort, where there's a real deserving reason. But in that film, the snowman just wakes up one morning. You know what I mean?
It's no, like, but Lacey Chabert has a leak in her house.
But it's like...
And she's barely making her mortgage payments, John.
But like, it seems to me that just like, she deserves the magic because she's just single. She's a single lady. And in the world of this movie, that is such a horrible thing that the magic of the universe is conveyed upon this snowman so that she can find happiness. But there's probably other single gals in the town as well, and they don't get their own hot snowmen from Schitt's Creek.
I will say, in these holiday movies, the worst thing as a woman you can be is like single.
Yeah, and also
it's like, you fucking true.
Her husband died, so she's walking around an open wound of grief.
Oh, shit.
And only a snowman can fill that hole.
Okay, I sometimes you gotta fuck a snowman. This is what it is.
Yeah.
You know? Why have two balls when you can have three?
Yeah. Hey, is that a carrot for a nose? Or are you happy to see me?
Yeah.
Next up, Old Man Marley from Home Alone.
Well,
come on,
girl, at the Eagle
for sure.
Yeah.
She's the day shift at the Eagle, honey.
Estranged from his kids. Why? Why? Because he left their mom for who? Whoever, you know, at the Eagle.
Oh. One of those older downtown gays who wears the cock ring full time. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Where everything's just out and the nipples are like big and round extended. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right?
I mean, yeah, they sold me.
Like truly a DJing Barracuda. Do you know what I mean? Like... Yeah, the boy DJing the boys' events for sure. Ospenhoff, DJing Ospenhoff for sure. This is a fag.
Yeah, we're sure of it. It's a six. It's a six. Next up, the Pigeon Lady from Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. What does no mean?
She's like a. Well, in the movie, she talks about her great love, but I don't think she said it was a guy. I think she's like a.
This is a seven.
Yeah, I see.
Liking birds is gay, first of all.
Yeah.
Right, straight people have dogs and cats. Gay people are like, I want a winged creature with razor beaks flying around my home, you know?
Yes, and there's just something about the energy of the clothes. The kind of, there's the kind of flannel style, stereotypical gay lady. But then there's also the more kind of, New England college, a lot of fabrics, many fabrics,
Smith.
Like unclear where shirts end and other shirts begin.
Yeah.
Layers, things, and there's a lot of this, you know, this is things like, going over the shoulder.
This is like a Cape Cod lesbian or something.
Yeah. It's like this person has been to Rachel Maddow's house.
100%.
Like there's an entire course just on unpacking her at Smith.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
She's the type of gay. I mean, I lived in Provincetown for a while, and the Cape Cod lesbians are like the crew members of the Black Pearl. They're very
that's true.
Grizzled in. And she's just so sweet though. I love this character. I would watch a whole one woman show about like what happened to her. And I bet it's like Wicked where like Kevin ruined her life.
You think?
Like she's the good person.
Oh.
And Kevin McAllister trying to be like savior.
Yes.
Fucked her life up, you know?
Yeah, she didn't need his help.
She didn't need his help.
No, she was doing fine.
Not to mention, he meets her at the end of the movie. She still lives outside. He goes, here's your ornament. I'm going back up to the giant hotel with my family and all our gifts.
Yeah. Excuse you,
stay
need
warm,
me
a, bitch. Like
forward any correspondence to the plaza.
Right. Oh my God, the Donald Trump cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it happened. Yeah. It happened. Simpler time.
Shit. Oh.
He was just some guy. Next up, Martha May Hooviere in the 2000 Jim Carrey version of The Grinch, as played by Christine Baranski.
Ooh.
I think she's that girl who's like, oh my God, I love gay guys. If I was a gay guy, I'd be so happy. But she's straight, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
She's like the boozy
gal with the gays at brunch who's like, I fucking love you faggots. You know, that's her. I love that scene where she's shooting the Christmas lights with that ch-ch-ch-ch. And Molly Shannon is like so gooped. She's like, oh. Because she's jealous. Do you remember that?
I haven't seen this one.
Oh, girl. It's
I
so
know,
good. It is
I
so
know.
Good.
Jim Carrey becomes the Grinch.
Wait.
You make it sound like through the film, Jim Carrey gets transformed like The Fly.
Yeah, it is. It's very much like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly.
It's The Fly.
It's a gradual.
You know what? This is a thing. They got to stop blowing up these boats in the Caribbean because cocaine made movies like The Fly possible. You can't. You know what I'm saying? That was a leap, and I hear it.
No, I get it.
I get that.
When I'm trying to write something, I'm like, how did Stephen King do it? I'm like, drugs.
Drugs.
Yeah. He's been open about it. I'm like, drugs help.
Yeah, drugs. Stephen King and Aaron Sorkin have this in common, which is they were prolific while doing a ton of drugs, and then directors would take 900-page things and say, oh, we're not doing this whole movie about the evil turtles.
Right.
We're just going to do this.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, this is an 800-page script. We're going to make American President. You can take the rest of these pages and do whatever you want. He's like, I'll make the West Wing. You know what I mean?
Love it.
Which I think is cool. It's cool to be prolific.
I love her. She's so great. I love this. This movie really is so good.
Oh, all right.
Finally, we have Krampus. St. Nicholas's dark doppelganger sent to punish naughty children with birch rods. According to European folklore, he also co-starred in a titular 2025 horror movie alongside Toni Collette and past Love It or Leave It guest Adam Scott and Alison Tolman. Krampus. 10.
10?
Homophobe.
Wow.
10.
Megyn Kelly calling out a 10 from the crowd.
That was Lauren Boebert smoking
Why
over there
is
in the
this
theater.
Gay?
That's what that was.
Yeah. Lauren Boebert giving a handy. Giving a handy at Beetlejuice.
Giving a handy at Beetlejuice.
Why is this a 10? Why is that gay? Why is the evil Santa gay? Huh? What have you internalized? I agree that's a gay man, but still...
I think it's gay. I think it's gay to be like, I'm going to fuck with these kids. You know what I mean? It's gay. Those aren't his kids. He doesn't have kids.
Right.
He's unmarried. He's obviously off on Christmas. He has no family.
Yeah, there is something about...
There's a reason why gay bars are open on December 25th.
Yeah, there is something about the Krampus that has the kind of energy of when gay guys are around kids and they don't know what to do. And they're just sort of like, I guess you can't drink soda and bitters, you know, that kind of a thing.
But yeah. I also feel like the kids love him. They're like, oh, is Uncle Krampus coming? You know?
I think it is like, don't you think for them it's like a fun thing, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, Krampus. It's like,
yeah.
I don't think they're genuinely scared of Krampus, right?
I think it's like all part of the show.
Besides, kids think that they're not naughty. So they're like, he's not coming here, no matter how fucking awful they are.
Yeah.
Kids have no self-awareness.
Yeah.
That's
some adults too. And that's the segment. And that's...
Kinsey,
what
do
we call it? Oh, yeah. Go down my chimney, bitch.
Go down my chimney.
Aparna, your special Hopeful Potato is out on December 15th on The Dropout.
On Dropout. Yep. Thank you.
And Trixie's holiday special is on YouTube.
Oh!
When we come back, we have a holiday gift guide.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bubs Naturals. Getting older can be rough. Did you know that starting as early as your mid-20s, your body naturally produces less collagen every single year? You might start to notice that you're waking up with stiff joints, recovering from the gym takes longer. Maybe your hair is thinning or your skin just doesn't have the same youthful glow anymore. That's where Bubs Naturals collagen peptides come in. Bubs helps you restore collagen levels closer to what your body naturally had in its youth. That means stronger joints, healthier hair and nails, smoother skin, and faster recovery. Collagen is the protein that holds everything together. It's literally the glue of the body. And it's super easy to use. Just mix Bubs into your coffee, smoothie, or juice each morning. It's tasteless, odorless, and dissolves instantly. No clumps, no weird aftertaste. On top of that, Bubs is third-party tested and built to the highest standard. No junk, zero sugars, sweeteners, or fillers. Live better longer. For a limited time only, our listeners get 20% off Bubs Naturals by using code LOVEIT at checkout. Just head to BUBSNaturals.com and use code LOVEIT and you're all set. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back! Woo! All right, before we get to our last segment, if you're not sure where to get your family and friends this holiday season, and if they're kind of the person who would love the gift of content, that's right, a friend of the pod subscription. Give them as a gift. You'll get access to the good stuff, exclusive content like Polar Coaster with Dan Pfeiffer, ad-free episodes of a bunch of our crooked shows, endless bragging rights. Give a gift of the friend of the pod subscription at crooked.com/friends or grab one yourself. It does genuinely help us build this progressive media company. And it's also very fun. How many people here are friends of the pod? Not enough. And next week on Tuesday, my interview with Bronwyn Newport from Real Housewives of Salt Lake will be on the feed, recorded right in the thick of it. Great conversation. I really like talking to somebody who's like very thoughtful about why she was on the show, what it's like to be on the show, what she's learned about herself. I really appreciated the conversation, and it's awesome. That's out Tuesday. And then next Thursday, right here at Dynasty, our last show of the year with Tig Notaro, Rachel Bloom, and Cameron Crowe, which is pretty cool. All right, it's holiday shopping season, and we at Love It or Leave It wanted to offer something different than the boring gift guides flooding your feed. So my guests and I have reached deep into our gifting cavity to pull out our best and brightest ideas for your friends, enemies, and everyone in between in a segment we're calling Love It or Regift It. Oh, okay. Ew. Sure, why not? First up, Aparna, I know you had a gift suggestion.
I did. I have a gift suggestion of something called a Sitbit. It's like a Fitbit, but it reminds you to make sure you're sitting enough to honor your seasonal depression.
Yeah, like get your alert. You've only sat for 2 to 3 hours today. Are you okay?
And how much of that time was just looking into a wall or in the middle distance?
So you're walking, you're on the middle of a 6-mile hike, and your phone beeps and says, "Don't you think it's time you sit down?"
Yeah, yeah.
It's too much.
What happens if you're sitting and then you get up? What does it say?
It says, "Uh-oh, you're expressing a will to live."
Aparna, you've been on the road. You've been on the road for this ahead of the new special. Any airport lowlights lately?
Oh, airport lowlights. Dang. I feel like I block them all out because I feel like most airports I'm just in a catatonic state. But yeah, one time a person put this was on the plane, but someone put their bare foot into my seat area. Hmm.
That's not your thing.
No.
And she wanted it in the...
Yeah, oh, right. I was like, yeah.
It's like, I can't get to those toes.
Yeah.
I can't get there.
That's awful.
No, I mean...
What did you do?
Nothing. I think I tweeted about it, you know?
You did all you could.
Yeah.
You did all you could.
I tweeted at the airline.
I love that Sitbit. All right, Trixie, you have a gift idea. We have, I think, two we can go to from you. Let's see. Let's see what the first one was.
She went kind of a different direction than I did. So, you know, it is cupping season, and you know, ethical non-monogamy is running rampant in our community, and that's completely fine. But for those of us who are monogamous, this is a great way to get people to go beyond "I do." It's also, well, you can't. You know, you go to bed knowing, like, he's going to be with you because if he ever wants to pee again, you have the key. And I actually photoshopped that little diamond on there.
That's beautiful.
And this says, "I do crew."
I'm
in the "I do crew."
Yeah.
This is the "I do crew" because you can't.
Yeah. I just thought it was kind of fun. And
I like it.
I kind of thought people would laugh more.
It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of jewelry.
It's a little small.
What do you do? I was like, what do you do with all the extra space towards the front? I was going to go the other way with it.
That's for snacks.
I was going the other way with it.
It's for snacks.
I have one. I'll do one next.
Okay.
I'll do one next. And I remember what they were.
Oh my God.
Wait, I had two. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This is it. You made a graphic. Thank you. These are, you bring a stack of these and they're called Get Out of Convo Free Cards. Okay. And when you show up for the holidays with all your family, you hand them out at the beginning of the event. Everybody gets a couple. Okay. There's some that say get out of convo free. Some say one free conversation topic change, for example. And then you know what the rule is. Everybody agrees in advance that if you use the card, no one can be mad. So someone's like, whoa, I guess you think it's good that drugs are coming into the country. You just hand them the card and you walk away. And you're good. And
I
you're
love
good.
It.
I love that.
And then, but if you're at the table and you can't leave and someone's like, I don't know. I mean, like, I think RFK sometimes gets a short shrift. Someone's like, you must persuade them. No. You throw the card down that says topic change and you're just like, has anybody been watching Pluribus?
Right.
You know? But by the way, has anybody been watching Pluribus? That's got to be your go-to. Because it just gets the people talking.
Yeah.
You know, it gets them chatting.
Right.
And so that was my first idea. Oh, and Aparna, you had another idea.
I think it was similar to that.
Well, okay.
Oh, yeah.
She is a tech mogul.
I was really feeling my...
So this is called the quit bit.
And now what the quit bit is going to do is when you try to join a gym, it says, you're not going to go. You better not. Yeah.
Yeah, so don't do it.
So it's a more simple tool, but it's really anytime you try to join a gym, it says, uh-uh. Not
I love
you.
That. I love yeah. that. It stops you before you make a mistake. Because
it's so hard to get out of gym membership.
I
feel like even if you're dead, they won't let you out.
Planet Fitness, you have to send a handwritten letter to the
yes.
gym you signed up at.
Yes.
Like the covered wagons. Like,
yeah.
A handwritten letter.
So because I've never successfully been able to actually go to a gym, I can really only do classes. Because if I go to a gym and there's no one telling me specifically what to do,
right.
I'm just in a different room listening to the book I was listening to on my car,
right.
You know, but
right.
now I've paid month to wander around this space
yeah.
and just feel a little bit like I can't too close,
yeah.
too much.
Yeah.
I get a Celsius, I get two Tootsie Rolls and watch Charmed. Because yeah. Planet Fitness always has Charmed.
That's so nice. That's oh, so yeah. nice.
I will say that the programming at gyms is eye-opening.
Yeah. They always have news. All different kinds.
My gym is always playing a Food Network holiday baking show, and it's always Halloween year round.
Wait, Trixie, you had one more pitch. You had one more idea.
I did. This one is a little different as well. So this Ooh. Is a ShamWow makeup wipe for the girls in your life who need 17 or 18 wipes per eye. Like I do. So this is kind of, that's, I think he might be dead.
No, I think he's not. He didn't die.
What a
crazy explanation. You're confusing. He's death and running for Congress. He's having
same thing.
But I think let's just say when I Googled this image, a lot of other pictures of him doing less well showed up.
Yes, I think things are not good.
Yes.
But I think he's with the living.
Right. And this is the ShamWow. And I just thought like a makeup wipe that really could go to town if you're somebody who wears makeup. I don't know. That could be huge.
You must go through them.
Yeah.
There's a landfill in hell with my name on it for sure. Like for sure. I got to think too, like they haven't invented a good hairspray that's not aerosol for drag queens too. So I'm like too woke that when I spray it, I'm like, no.
I bet you could sell those used.
People do. Tammy Brown does this and she frames them and sells them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's using the whole buffalo,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
In a sense. Next, here's my last one. It's called ReSanta. Basically, somebody comes into your house while you're sleeping and they go into your closet. And they take clothes you own and have not worn in the last year, though when you bought them, you swore you would, and wraps them up like a gift and leaves them under your tree, because then you open it and it's like you're starting again. It's back. try again. Because sometimes like you don't wear it and then it falls to the bottom of the drawer or just inertia. It's just not what you go to. But maybe if it came back out and came back to the front, all gifted, you'd be like, why don't I wear this? And then boom, it's in the rotation.
For sure.
But don't you guys have clothing where it's like you would never wear it, but just the idea that you own it gives you a little pep in your step?
Sure.
I only have that.
And that's our show. Aparna Nancherla, Trixie Mattel. We'll see you next week at Dynasty. There are 332 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend. If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Subha Agarwal are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Shersher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
If you guys like Pod Save America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Pod Save America. That includes our new show, which is called Pod Save America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription-exclusive podcast that is basically Pod Save America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothed.
Dan is very busy, clothed only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.